You're listening to an all-new episode of Self-Made Strategies. Visit selfmadestrategies.com for new episodes, information about our guests, and a whole lot more.
If you're listening on iTunes or Google Play, please go to our show page and leave a review.
This episode of Self-Made Strategies is brought to you by 115 Films. If you are looking to increase engagement with your target audience through video, then visit www.115films.com.
Last year, we did a virtual tour for a couple of schools. It's a Caribbean school. It's Ross University. We hired specialists that went out and shot the whole campus. And that's how our company works. We hire people on a project basis. Mm-hmm. We don't have any full-time employees or anything along those lines. When the projects come in, we staff accordingly.
Which helps your clients meet their marketing budgetary goals.
Exactly. That segues into the fact that when we price things out, we can say, hey, here's option one, here's option two, here's option three, something along those lines where...
So you can work within a lot of budgets.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, we can say, hey, you know, we can shoot this with one camera. But we can shoot it with two cameras, and this is what these are the benefits of using two cameras, for example. Mm-hmm. We can include a sound person, which I'm always a big fan of. You know, the way I look at it is we can be one source of production with, you know, sometimes with two people where we can do everything. But I'm a bigger fan of saying, hey, for a little bit more money, the quality is going to go up because you're going to get a specialist. Mm-hmm. To do sound. It turns out that, you know, when you give them tiers of production and you say, here's the benefits of having, here's gold, you know, the gold standard, let's just say, right? But that's not what, we don't use that exact term, but let's just, for example, this is what you can get here. This is what you can get for the silver and bronze, let's just say. And you can go and just within your budget, pick which one, you know, makes most sense for you.
Right.
And go from there.
You know? Sorry, going back to the Ross University discussion, yes. I apologize because I cut you off there.
No.
So the 360 video.
Yeah. So here's the thing is that the technology is still new. I mean, it's something that, you know, we were approached in 2017 about, and we'd never taken it on before. So we're like, okay, yeah, we can do it. Yeah. And what we did was we reached out to certain people. We, you know, made sure that who we were getting were the right people for the job. We had them come along with us. We shot standard video. It was a great working environment, great experience. Ross Med has their own in-house editor. Mm-hmm. So they basically sent them the footage and they were able to create, you know, the little video segments for, hey, here's the anatomy lab. This is what it looks like. And you see students and the professor working together. It's amazing, you know, what you can do now. The Ross Vet School, that's when we sent the specialist over there because we had already shot standard video separately from that. So then we sent them over to St. Kitts to shoot this segment. And they also wanted an interactive process done. So we also had to find someone. And there's not that many people out there that do this, but this guy that we hired, he was able to take all that video content and create menus on their website and make it a truly interactive experience. And that's another thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, 360 video, like some people feel like it's a gimmick. Some people feel like it's the future. I don't necessarily know where it stands at the moment, but I know that it does create engagement, and
right?
You know, especially for a campus. If you've never been there, especially if it's across the world or wherever, or in the Caribbean, whatever, it's something that lets you see into the place without even being there. Potential students coming in, it's amazing because they're able to hand them goggles and they're able to put the goggles on. And that's the thing. It's that interactive experience of,
right.
And the newness of being able to take goggles off the table and put them on, and it transports you to the Ross Vet School or Ross Med School in Dominica or St. Kitts, and you're there looking at waterfalls that surround the campus, or being able to go into the anatomy lab and say, oh, I want to see what that is. Instead of just scrolling on the computer, I mean, that just creates another form of engagement.
Yeah,
it's very neat.
But it goes to show you how people are starting to use, entrepreneurs are starting to use new forms of video, and they're even innovating at that level to show a different experience to their target audience.
100%. Yeah. And it goes to show you too that how fast everything's changing. You know, it's more and more interactive video is being available and accessible, and that ups everyone's marketing material to a large degree.
That much more.
Exactly.
So we've talked a lot about working with sort of larger companies, people who have marketing departments or marketing professionals that are focused on these types of deliverables. But what about when you're working with either trusted advisors like lawyers, accountants, et cetera, sort of smaller professionals, for lack of a better term, or even with just smaller businesses? So new businesses, startups that are coming out and needing to really give a big social media marketing push using video to help showcase their products or services. What are some of the services that you provide, or how do you help them to achieve their marketing goals?
A lot of times what we do is we find that we answer a lot of their questions. You know, they might say, oh, hey, what, you know, do you have, you know, what are your suggestions? You know, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? Because, you know, they don't have a marketing team behind them. They might not have the, you know, they might not, either they don't need it per se, or they're not that big of a company where they have those resources. So if they come to us and they say, hey, you know, we want to make a 1-minute video. Do you think we should shoot it in our office? You know, yeah, sure. But depending on what it is, you know what I mean? If it works, if you're an attorney, or if you want to do it a little differently, kind of get out of the office, show that, you know, you don't necessarily want to show the stereotypical attorney
in
video.
In front of a bookcase filled with law books. No, I don't know why I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe it's been a little overused.
Right. We try to always do out of the box thinking. You know, sometimes the standards just work and, you know, they're proven track record and they just, you know, especially for budgetary reasons, hey, you know what, this is where we want to shoot it. Mm-hmm. This is our budget. You know, this is our deliverable. Like, oh yeah, hey, you know what? You just delivering a message straight to camera, that's going to work because of X, Y, and Z. We do a lot of consulting in that aspect, where if they have a script or they have a general idea, sometimes we'll take it to script. I mean, we'll just say, hey, okay, you have a paragraph of like what you're looking for. We can write it as a script if you like, or we can just take that paragraph and storyboard it out for you and make suggestions to make it make it pop a little bit more than it might be on paper. So that's what we find. We find that the smaller businesses and the people that might not have experience in video, because there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of people that have never been on camera before. And one thing we might say to them is, hey, you know, do you feel that you are the best representation for your company? And you might be a one person operation, but at the same time, that doesn't mean you can't bring in another way to get your messaging out there. You know, like tell a story or somehow.
Happy clients.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You might just want to go the testimonial route. You might just want to find those happy clients and use that as a representation of what you can provide.
Right. And it sounds like you also help. So going back to your focus on the importance of their message and their story, and you help them craft that.
Correct. Yes, exactly. So they might have a story written out or a script or just an idea that's perfect. You know what I mean? And we might just say to them, hey, this is great. Like as is, the length is great. The messaging's awesome. We can shoot this. We have the resources. We can make it happen for you. Let's do it. And we might pepper little things in here and there just to kind of accentuate it a little bit more. But overall, I mean, you know, a lot of times they come to us and they need the guidance and we provide that.
That's awesome.
If you have a limited marketing budget, why should someone focus on video?
Well, video these days has become cheaper and cheaper to produce, you know. And with that said, I think it's a great way because of how engaging it is and how it's everywhere. And a lot of times, even the distribution platforms either can be free or they're very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's just, you know, back in the day, it was a lot of mailing material that cost a ton of money, you know. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you know, for if you have a limited budget, there's different tiers of video that you can get produced. And like I said, it's really inexpensive compared to what it used to be. And, you know, I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. There's clients that call us up and say, I'm sorry, we just can't afford what you offer. And they totally understand. But for the most part, if you're a small business and you have a marketing budget, use it for video. Video is definitely the now and the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it goes back into that COPE, the create once, publish everywhere. So
perfect.
I'll just give you a quick rundown. Not that I'm per se a marketing expert, but I've been fortunate enough to be exposed to people like Mike and Jim Staples and Samir Samal. And all of those people, you know, just engaging with them, you kind of pick up these little nuances and tidbits about marketing. So if you're doing the create once, publish everywhere strategy, essentially you're creating one video, let's just say a 30-second video. You take that video, you can post it to all your different social media channels, which you would help them work out the aspect ratios and the time for, and then they take that and post it on YouTube on their own channel, again, for free. These are all just free strategies. Mm-hmm. Then in YouTube, you're taking and adding the text-based description of that video, let's say two or three paragraphs. So now you have searchable content. You take that, you post it in a blog post, that exact same searchable content, you just take it and post it on your own website. You're now adding additional pages to your website, creating legitimacy for Google's algorithms, helping yourself through SEO, and getting people to funnel right back to your website for part of your conversions to sell whatever it is, your product or service.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I love the COPE, the COP.
Yeah, it's really genius, isn't it? I got it from Jim Staples, to be honest. And I've been like talking about it everywhere. So there you go. I am his COPE. I am his COP. He incepted me with his idea. Now I'm out there promoting him everywhere.
Yeah.
But it really is kind of a genius idea.
I was going to say, it makes total sense. I mean, think about it. Create once, post everywhere. I mean, like there's no reason why you should limit yourself these days.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I remember going back in, again, 10 years ago, YouTube was like the place to do it. I mean, it was always YouTube. You know, I mean, it was like, hey, you know, oh, where are you going to put it? We're going to put it on YouTube. It was just, that was like the only thing that everyone ever thought about. You know what I mean? And we're going back when, you know, pretty much when MySpace was still like the number one. From what I remember, I don't think anyone really put video on MySpace, right? I mean, it was.
Not that I recall. I remember there were a lot of flashing lights and scrolling text.
Yeah. And, sounds about right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and gosh, everybody was friends with a guy named Tom.
Yeah.
I think Tom was just an egomaniac. He just wanted everybody to be friends with him. So, But yeah, it was really, it is interesting to see how it evolved from that.
Yeah.
Right?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it used to be really hard to get video on your website to buffer. I mean, you know, you had to make sure it was like under, I don't know, I want to say like under 100 megabytes or something, you know, something crazy like
just
that.
Just to make it watchable.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to make it watchable. Now, you know, you got platforms like Vimeo. It's a great streaming platform, especially for your website. You know, nowadays you can literally link the, you know, copy and paste the link. You know, if you're using something like Squarespace or Wix or something like that, you can copy it and let Vimeo host it. And it's wonderful. You know, it's a really...
Yeah. And if you want more to legitimize video even further, I mean, Instagram now, have you seen all the IGTV?
Yep.
Ads that are popping up. So it's like a little 30-second clip and then you have to click watch more to go on and watch the rest of the video. And it's all part of this, like, again, it's just taking you by the hand and saying, here's the sales funnel and putting you at the top of the slide and giving you that little push, basically.
Yeah. It's like, but wait, there's more. Yeah. And that's a great way. And that goes along with the line of here's a little teaser. If you like what you see, there's more to follow. It's really not the old days of a 3 to 5 minute video where it just sits and plays and people are, you know, you really have to get people engaged quick and, you know, give them those teasers, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks for all of that information. It was really helpful and I think will help a lot of the entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast to amplify their content marketing strategy exponentially, that much more through video. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
really.
Thank you.
But before you go, we're going to play a little bit of a game called First, Last, Best, and Worst. So we'll throw some categories at you. You'll give us the first one you can remember or that was memorable to you for some reason, the last one, then the best, and then the worst.
Okay.
Sound good? Simple enough?
Sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Margaret.
Yeah. All right. So first, last, best, worst movies.
First, last, best, worst movies. Oh, that's great. So when you say first, are you saying like first movie I've ever seen or is it more like...
Whatever, the first memorable one, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. First memorable movie I've ever seen, I want to say the original King Kong.
Wow.
It was my favorite. You know, I still love that movie. Oh my God. Last movie that I just seen, actually... Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, that's right. We watched it together.
Yeah. Tony was there. Yep. Tony was there watching it. Yeah. Classic movie right there.
It was a good one too.
I apologize if I'm not remembering the order, what you said. First, last,
best.
Okay, best. I would say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's my, that's a great yeah, movie. It's in my top three and that's just American Beauty and Lost in Translation.
Yeah, excellent.
And I feel like out of those three, I feel like Eternal Sunshine just still hits home more. Like it stands the test of time a little more than the others do, even though the others are still great.
Yeah.
Love and it's such a unique movie and concept, the whole theory of, you know, erasing your memories of someone. And
speaking of emotion, right?
Yeah, right.
That movie.
Really
amazing.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
And it shows a lot of, I think, Jim Carrey's range as well as an actor.
Gosh, yeah.
That was actually the time, that was the first, well, I've always had respect for Jim Carrey, but that was when I really, the respect meter for him went up. I mean, I was like, I never in 1,000 years would have thought to cast Jim Carrey in a serious role like that. And he nailed it. He was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God, he was Joel. He was the perfect Joel, all awkward and just kind of like, oh, yeah, I don't know. You know? He was phenomenal, you know, and I'm an emotional guy. So like, you know, I put that on, I will get teary. And this is the way it is. And
it's great.
And I still, to this day, the last time I watched it, I was kind of like, yeah, it's great.
How about worst?
Worst. Oh my God. Worst. I would say there's so many bad ones out there, but there's a movie. Okay. So growing up, my friends and I, we would watch really bad horror movies and almost like Mystery Science Theater 3000, where we would just make fun of them, have a great time. And we didn't necessarily like take that idea and run with it. We just started watching bad movies and we would just sit there and crack up. And then we're like, oh, we got to make a habit of this. This is really fun. Yeah. So there's a movie from 1984 called Rocktober Blood.
Rocktober Blood.
Rocktober Blood. You could probably watch the whole thing on YouTube if you type it in, because I can't see anyone complaining about copyright on that movie. But let me say, it is a cult classic, horrible movie. I mean, check it out just for some good laughs, because it's bad.
That's awesome. How about the first, last, best, and worst commercial video project you've ever worked on?
So there was a company in 2007. It was right a couple months after I quit the 9-to-5 job. It was for a company called Skytrax. Mm-hmm. So it was a marketing video for this company, which it was a really cool concept. And I'm assuming they're probably still around. So it was revolutionary in the fact that they could, on a screen, track all of the forklifts that were in their warehouse along with inventory.
Wow.
So you literally, in real time, they had these cameras or tracking devices that were up in the scaffolding. And they were able to keep track of every forklift that was moving. So if a boss comes over and like, you know, you got a guy that's slacking or whatever the case is, you can see that it's not moving. Like, what the hell is that guy doing? You know, they can see what each of them, it was digital. It almost looked like an Atari game. Like on the, it was very, like, you know, it wasn't like anything special, but you don't need it to be, right?
Right,
I mean, you just
course,
needed
yeah.
to just yeah. see what's going on.
Just need the data.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. So they would just basically track the position. It was a global, it was with GPS, so they would just track the positioning of the forklifts, where they were, what they were stocking, and also from my memory, I believe they were able to help keep track of the inventory that was on each shelf with that. So we did a 2 to 3 minute video for that company, and it was a lot of fun. It was cool because I've never, at that time, 2007, it was like, wow, like never would have thought that there was a business for this kind of thing. And that's another thing I love about, you know, doing corporate or branded content videos is, sometimes you do video work for a company, for a client that you never thought existed.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah. I remember I was hired as a DP for another production company about 7-8 years ago. We did a video for a company that designed and installed the interior of elevators. And you're like, oh, well, I guess that makes sense. Cause you think like you get an elevator, there's an elevator. No, no one makes it, right? It just existed from day one, right? Since the dawn of men. It's just there. Yeah. You know,
by the way, speak of video content now, there's like video screens on almost every modern elevator that you get into, where they're just, you know, it's That's video true. Content for, and talk about quick engagement, right?
Yeah.
You're 6 seconds up to whatever floor you're going to. They got to hook you fast.
Real quick.
On that little screen.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Exactly. And that's a perfect platform for that. It really, really is.
The last gig you worked on.
The last gig. Okay. So I was hired as a DP because one thing to note, besides having my own clients, I also get hired by production companies as a DP, sometimes an editor. I like to work. So I don't care whether it's from home company, friends of ours, we hire each other. You know, we all have our own LLCs. You know, we partner up sometimes. Actually, and the last project I shot for was for my wedding photographer, Zach Hartzell, who's a great guy, sharp kid. I say kid because I'm probably 12 years older than him. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and that's another thing is seeing how people coming up, younger people are at another level at, you know, he'll be 27 years old. He's not only is he sharp, but he's also been exposed to all this equipment, you know, at an early, much earlier age than I was. Right. Yeah. we were just in Miami shooting for a company called Qstraint, which is his direct client, and they specialize in securement for people in wheelchairs. And what they do is they have these mechanisms that strap onto wheelchairs and securely bring them up and down into vans or buses, you know, any kind of vehicle. So we went to a studio in Miami and we spent 2 days there. We actually 3 days, I should say. First day was for set building and lighting testing. We had some gaffers there that were helping us with the studio against a white psych. And then we had a full day of shooting the next day. And then the day after that, we shot testimonials, for example, for the product itself. Nice. So yeah, it was a really fun gig. Worked with great people, his client, and they're just amazing people to work with. And it was a lot of fun.
Wow. How about the best one? Not taking away from those two, but the best project.
Best one. Okay. I would have to say I shot an amazing experience. It was in 2017. I was fortunate enough to go to South Africa to shoot a mini documentary for USA Today. So what we did was we followed them through their journey into each place that they went to. We had someone who was with me, which was a writer. She also served as a producer. We went on a safari with them, which was phenomenal. I mean, just being, no joke, like 2 feet away from a lion up on a Jeep where, you know, just looking down at that lion, looking eye to eye, never been that close to an animal like that before. It was incredible. I mean, just to see the lions, the cheetahs, we saw, crazy enough, which is extremely rare to see this for anyone in the world, that they were saying, we saw cheetahs mating.
Wow.
Which, you know, I got on video, but we weren't going to use that in the in the final product, of course, but we stayed at this amazing bungalow, I want to say, but high-end bungalow where I had my own private pool. The elephants and the animals come up to your come up to the actual pool itself. Like that's how, there's no fence separating you from the safari. So at nighttime, what happened was when we went to dinner to meet with everyone, they'd have someone from the hotel come out with a flashlight and escort us because there's wild cheetah. There's things that can kill you when you're walking to dinner.
And so I guess generally speaking, if you've got the flashlights or whatever and you're with the hotel staff, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. They shine around. So apparently like them, if you spot a cheetah, which we luckily didn't spot any cheetahs on our walks those nights. If you do that, they apparently freeze, I believe they were saying. It makes you more, it keeps them contained, let's just say that. They won't necessarily attack you because you're also traveling in more than one person because they usually like to attack things that are alone or animals or humans that are alone. Right. So if there's more people, you have a light, it kind of keeps them at bay. That was definitely the best experience, the best shoot I've done.
Is the documentary out and can people find it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have, there's a link directly to USA Today. So if you were to go into USA Today's website, Africa Travel, maybe South Africa, something along those lines, it should come up fairly easy.
Great. How about the worst project you've ever worked on? Maybe leave out the client, but we'll talk about maybe some of the challenges that you faced or what you learned from it or whatever you want to choose.
Actually, I can't say that. I can't figure out anything for the worst because I feel like anything, even if it's challenging or even if it wasn't necessarily the best experience, if the client wasn't the nicest or if the whoever I was working with wasn't the best person in the world, whatever the case is, you definitely come away learning from that. I mean, like you take that and you then appreciate the best projects even more because and to pinpoint one, it's hard to do, but there's definitely been some more challenging projects out there and things that, you know, ones that I wasn't necessarily all that excited about to do. But again, you're shooting, you're doing your thing, you're learning, and then you come out with something. So
right. Awesome.
All right. So what about first, last, best, and worst places traveled?
Ooh. Okay. First place I think I ever really traveled to was the Pocono Mountains.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the Jim Thorpe area where my aunt and uncle used to take us. Nice. You know, I went to the shore with my parents and here and there every once in a while. But I mean, because we went in such a consistent basis when I was little to the mountains, that was probably the most memorable and the first place, the most memorable. I would say the best, Italy. Yeah, Italy. Yeah, it's where my wife and I got married.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, you have to
say that. Yeah, right? Exactly. I know.
Yeah. Didn't say Italy. I was like, please say Italy.
Because Jess is going to listen to this. And,
I was like, please say Italy.
Yeah. She's got that Italian rage. So, you know, she might come out swinging. Who knows? You know? Honestly, though, personally, though, it really is all kidding aside, it really is my favorite place to go.
That's beautiful there, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Rome's my favorite city. Mm-hmm. Where my wife's family lives in Cosenza in Luzzi. Beautiful little town. Oh, I mean, it's in Calabria. It's like right by the toe of the boot. I mean, it's amazing. To include all that, Sicily was, we honeymooned in Sicily because we got married in Calabria and took the ferry right over to Sicily and just spent our honeymoon there.
That's amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Tony came to our wedding. Tony and his wife, Sarah.
It was absolutely gorgeous. Stunning location and the views. And it was in an agriturismo, right? Which is essentially a farm / B&B.
Yeah.
Which is so awesome because they use a lot of the cultivated vegetables and stuff like that in the meals, right? Am I getting all this right?
No, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They grow all their own food. Their own wine. Make their own wine there.
It was
you can't get more organic than that, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, and then we were, you know, with that same trip, we were able to go to Tony's wedding, which was beautiful. So it was great. We went to our wedding, we went to Sicily for our honeymoon, and then we flew over to Portugal for Tony's wedding. It was in a castle. It was freaking phenomenal.
It was super, super memorable.
We had a blast. We partied till 4 a.m.
It was crazy.
So fun.
Oh my God. It was amazing.
It was a whirlwind 2.5 weeks. Last place you traveled.
Last place I traveled. For vacation was Italy. We were just there for New Year's. We went from December into January. So we spent some time in Rome and then went and did the family thing down in Luzzi, which is beautiful. Just very relaxing. Got to see your family for the first time since the wedding.
Aww.
Amazing time, as always. Yeah, it really recharges your batteries because you get out of the hustle and bustle of everyday life and just kind of get to sit back a little bit.
Important part of being an entrepreneur. I mean, you know, work hard, play hard, right? You do need to unplug. You do need to rest and reset. You're 100%. Not going to do your best work if you're burning the candle at every end possible.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Could not agree more.
How about worst traveling experience?
Worst traveling experience. Wow. Great, great question. So I did a job for, it was a USA Today. It was one of the travel segments. It was a shoot in Canada we did. Mm-hmm. The shoot was great. Mm-hmm. There's no issues with the shoot. Great people. Had an amazing time. This was the New Brunswick. So this was this last July. Went there for a week. I had the worst experience going through the Toronto airport. I do not know what the problem was. I don't know why. So basically, to get long story short, it was my gear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this happens to you a lot.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. It's happened at a job we did in Dominica together, if you remember. Yeah. We had some Pelican cases that just didn't come to us for 3 days. Important gear because they were little puddle jumper planes and you know you're dealing with people that are on island time and they're laid back, you know, great people, but almost to a fault they're just like, oh yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so going to this job, I had my Pelicans not come in, Pelican cases full of gear that I needed not come in for the first day, which is why now I for the most part learned my lesson and travel with anything that I can still shoot a video with on me. So on my carry-on, and you never want to check your camera underneath or anything like that, obviously, but I make sure I have all audio gear, like lavalier mics, anything that you need to still produce the video, even if you have to handhold the camera, which I do a lot, especially these types of videos. You're doing a lot of run and gun kind of production. Didn't get that. I think the Pelicans were held back for, I think, almost 2 days. Didn't get that. And then coming home from that job, I didn't know, but I have a carnet, which is basically, for people that don't know what a carnet is, it's a list of your gear, like issued by the government.
Right.
And it's basically, you list your serial numbers for everything. It's just so that they know that you went, whatever gear that you're going over and coming back with, you're coming back with and not selling to avoid paying duty taxes.
Mm. Right. That's for customs, essentially.
Exactly. What I didn't know, what I learned is that they had U.S. customs in the Canadian airport. So not when you land in the U.S., but you had to go through Canadian customs and then through U.S. customs. I've never seen this because they say it speeds up the process back home. It did the exact opposite. It was horrible. I had the worst customs officers where I didn't get my carnet stamped correctly because what you're supposed to do technically, and I've never had my carnet stamped on the exit of the foreign country because when you go into come back to the United States, they stamp it for you to show that you brought that stuff back.
Right.
I didn't know why. I mean, there's technical reasons, I'm sure, but when you stamp the carnet leaving the country, U.S. Customs, and I didn't realize I was going through U.S. Customs. I had no idea. I showed up. I'm like, this is so weird. Like, what's going on? I was so confused. Right. They're like, oh, you didn't get this stamped. And this woman was like the worst. I don't know what she had a chip
They're
on her
always
shoulder.
In a bad mood. I don't know why.
Customs officers always. It's weird. And it was only U.S. The Canadian customs were amazing people. Like, you know, because Canadians are super friendly in general. And I go through and the woman's like, you didn't stamp this. And I'm just like, well, what do you mean? It didn't stamp it. Like I'm not even realizing. I'm still thinking I have to go through customs when I land. So I'm like, I see it says United States on their patches and everything. She's like, well, and then I asked her a question. Then I sat. She's like, please have a seat right there. So I did, and I stand up, and because I look to see that my flight is leaving in like a half an hour. So I stand. I literally stand up. I'm gonna try to make this as short as possible.
No, you're good. You're good.
So I stand up, and
this is a good vending experience.
Oh, it really is, man. I'm like, it feels good to let this out. You know? So I stand up and I approach her and I'm like, excuse me, miss. I just wanted to know, like, I was as friendly as could be. But all I was going to say to her was, hey, my flight is leaving soon. How, you know, what do I need to do to rectify that? You know, sir, sit down. You're either going to pay a fine or I forget what else she said, but she basically made me feel like I was going to pay a fine. And I sat down, I'm like, pay a fine for what? I'm like, I have all the right documentation. I go out of my way to make sure that I have all the right things. Right. And you're going to stop me with a fine? So eventually she says, okay, you have two options. You can either pay the fine, which is a lot of money because you have to pay duty taxes on all the gear that you're traveling with, which would have been thousands of dollars.
Right.
Or you can go back to Canadian Customs and get the carnet stamped and approved again. Needless to say, I didn't want to pay the fine, so that means I was going to miss my flight. Ugh. Which I wasn't able to, long story short, I had to go through customs. Canadian Customs was baffled on the why I had to come back. They were like, I can't believe they made you do this. We don't like U.S. Customs, you know, off the record. Wow. Well, now it's on the record, but whatever. I don't know the agent's name, so it's not going to matter.
Yeah, of course.
So lo and behold, I went through the whole process again. It was a long process. I tried to be as patient as possible, went through it, had to take a flight 6 hours later. So I had to wait in the airport for six more hours after I got my gear. Yeah, I got home late that night.
That is really frustrating.
Yeah.
Totally.
Especially when you're trying to be nice and it's kind of like, you know, I have a policy of I'm going to be nice to everyone I meet unless.
Unless I have another reason, to be.
Unless you give me a reason not to.
Right.
Be.
Exactly.
And then it's not going to be a pleasant experience. But generally,
totally,
I mean, I'm super nice and respectful to everybody. I don't understand why people can't do that. I get that you're having a bad day. I get that you don't like working where you're working at, which is, by the way, not my fault. It's your fault.
Exactly. Like, you can quit your job.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
No one's making you work there. Yeah. That's always my philosophy. Like, especially when you go to an airport, you know?
Right.
Lot, nine times out of 10, for whatever reason, I just get somebody who just doesn't want to check your bags in, doesn't want to see you, like whatever the case is. But then, don't get me wrong, there's great people at the airport. But then sometimes I'm just like, look, like you don't have to do this if you don't want to do it. If you don't want to be, give good customer service, what's the point? You know what I mean? And I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. Everyone has bad days. Everyone deals with things they don't want to deal with. But it gets to the point where you're just like, come on,
Right. And their lives might be a little bit better if they're nicer to people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Might could not agree more.
Might give that a shot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Doesn't take much.
Our PSA to the TSA.
Yeah, right. Well said.
So how about favorite? You're a big foodie. I know that.
Yeah.
We have dinner a lot together. So how about meals or restaurants? Favorite, first, last, best, and worst meal that you can remember?
Okay, so besides Italy and all the amazing food that's there, not to mention Portugal, because honestly, Portuguese and Italian food are my two favorite foods.
Very similar too, yeah.
Exactly. And what I love about Portuguese food is the seafood and the sauces. Mm. And with Italian food, what I love is the simplicity, just the fact that you can just make amazing dishes with very little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the last restaurant that I absolutely loved, which is called The Love. Mm-hmm. It's a sister restaurant to Tallulah's Garden, which is Jess and I's favorite restaurant. Maybe yours, Tony, or it's up there at least.
I would say it's probably the best in Philly, personally.
Excellent. Tallulah's Garden, absolutely amazing. But The Love, which was phenomenal. We had this rabbit pasta, Brussels sprouts, broccoli with amazing homemade hot sauce. I'm trying to think. There was the appetizers we had. We had one of their cheese boards, which was phenomenal. And I think it was a tuna tartare from what I remember. That restaurant is super solid. Ate there once, want to go back very, very soon. So
nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So first like restaurant.
Yeah, memorable meal, first restaurant, meal? Whatever. It can be a memorable meal with your wife.
Trying to backtrack like 6 years.
Pick a good one, I know.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. So my wife and I went to this amazing restaurant that she used to work at called Porterhouse in Doylestown. Mm-hmm. And it was when we first started dating, and she was like, oh my God. She's like, I got this restaurant. They have the best sausage sandwiches you'll ever eat in your life. And that's when I realized I really started to like this girl, because I mean, just for her to be like all about sausage, because I love meat in general. Yeah. And she's like very like, she turned me into a foodie, because like I liked food, don't get me wrong, but like I wasn't, you know, I didn't necessarily like go after like really, I didn't look for great restaurants. I was like, oh yeah, if it's there, I'll eat it, whatever. So we went to this restaurant. And sadly, they took it off the menu. It's not there anymore. But like every now and then, they'll bring it back for as a special if they have sausage that's like made for one of their other specials or whatever. But hands down, the best sausage grinder I've ever had in my life. It was
nice.
It was sausage. It was peppers and onions on it. It was the bun was toasted. Well, not bun. The roll was toasted, I should say. Phenomenal. I mean, that was very early on in our relationship. And
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely hooked me in.
That's great. That's a great choice.
Yeah, yeah.
How about last memorable meal? Could be with your wife as well.
Let's go back to Rome. So we spent her birthday in Rome this past January 3rd. Mm-hmm. And we went to a place that had the best pizza I've ever had in my life. It's called Emma. Mm-hmm. So I highly suggest it if you go to Rome. Like if you're looking for good pizza, it's relatively in the center of Rome. Mm-hmm. She had pizza that was covered in prosciutto, and it was could not see the pizza underneath. I mean, literally. Not to mention they rolled and stood up a piece of prosciutto in the center. And I had this amazing Sicilian pizza with anchovies and raw Sicilian olive oil. It was amazing. I mean, I can't even stress how good it is. It was phenomenal. So we actually talked about it the other night. We're just like, yeah, that – actually, I think you were over, Tony.
She showed me the picture of it. Yeah,
that was it.
It was the night we watched Sunset Boulevard.
Exactly. Yeah. We had a little gathering to watch movies and everything. It was great, which we do on a regular basis. And we discussed pizza because we had pizza there. And it was
– yum.
Yeah. Highly suggest Emma. So
awesome. Yeah. How about – all right, worst meal ever.
Okay. So this also involves when I first started dating my wife, Jess. I took her on a date. This was before she turned me into a foodie, so I wasn't all that, you know, selective all the time. And I remember my dad told me, he's like, oh yeah, Uno's, they have great wings. Oh my God, they got great wings. I'm like, okay, Dad. And my dad's a good judge of character with wings. He really is. So we go to Uno's and we're about to go see, it was when Batman, what was the latest, Batman with Bane, what was that called?
Batman... Dark Knight Rises.
Thank you. Dark Knight Rises. So we're like, yeah, you know, we kept it simple. We're like, let's go get something to eat. Go check out the movie. The first month we were dating. So we went in, we got wings and we got these stuffed mushrooms. The wings were okay. I want to say they were all right. They were like, listen, Uno's now though, like we've gone pretty recently just because it opens late night. They have a great happy hour, 10 to 12, whatever the case is.
Right.
And we had their wings. Their wings have definitely gotten better, but this is 2012. Maybe we got a bad batch. I don't know. They were super, super thin.
Ugh.
They were just very like dried out. And they were just, and I said to Jess, I'm like, and I talked these wings up so much. I'm like, oh, my dad said, and I'm like, so how do you like them? She's like, they're okay. They're wings. That was like her. And that was like, oh no. I'm like, oh shit. I really messed this up. And then on top of that, we got the stuffed mushrooms. The stuffed mushrooms came out completely dry. There was nothing on them. It was like eating styrofoam. I'm not joking. So I ate two of them, and I come from the restaurant business. So like I'm very like laid back when it comes to like, I get it. Like, hey, you know, it's not your fault.
It's not the waiter's fault. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course.
And I'm not even the person that likes to say like, I want this taken off the check and da, da, da. I sat there and I ate like two out of the six or whatever. And Jess ate the other one and we just stopped eating them. And then the waitress came over. She's like, is everything okay? Like, did you like those? And I was like, no, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. And she was like, oh, she's like, I'll take them off. And I'm like, no, you don't have to worry about it. She took it off the check.
That's good customer service.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And, but they were the driest, most.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. That's the one meal that sticks in my mind, I think.
Show you why it's so important to really focus on the quality of the product that you're 100%.
Putting
in. Well, Mike, thanks again for all your time and all the information that you gave us. This was awesome. Really amazing. We didn't talk about your side projects that you're involved in. So you're working a lot as a commercial video director now. You have a separate website for your commercial directing work, correct? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, actually. I forgot about that. my passion, I should say, is besides doing corporate and branded content video is TV commercials. So I'm actually starting to market myself as a TV commercial director. So I created some commercials that are on my website, michaelleerydirector.com. And I'm starting to reach out to reps and other, you know, commercial production companies to be repped by a good company or a good rep and direct comedic TV commercials.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm just starting now that process of marketing that. Those same commercials are on my website under the commercials tab, but I'm actually, you know, separating them as a separate venture to dabble more into that world. So
really cool. Yeah. You've shot a lot on spec, I know.
Correct. Yeah. Tony's been on set for a lot of my productions and everything.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we also were starting to dabble into some films that Tony's involved in.
Yeah, Mike and I are working on a couple of film projects that we're at the script writing phase right now. But yeah.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we dabble in as many things as we can.
Yeah, we try to collaborate often. So yeah, and MichaelLeeryDirector.com is MichaelLeeryDirector.com. director.com.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. That's cool. It.
Just wanted to make sure we got it right.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you.
So, and how can people, if they want to work with you from a commercial aspect to create some of their commercial or video marketing campaigns, how can they reach you? How can they find you?
115films.com. So you can either do 115films.com or spell it all out. Mm-hmm. You can also reach me at 115films@gmail.com. That's all spelled out. Another way you can contact me is my phone number, 215-470-3380.
Awesome. Again, Mike, thanks so much for being on the Self-Made Strategies podcast. We really appreciate it. And we'll be looking out for a lot of that content you're putting out.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.